We're going to explore the role of women in the church in our session today. And you know, the first thing that it's important to understand is that rules are applicable everywhere. I spend a lot of my time at both when I was teaching kindergarten and with my preschoolers explaining to them that you have to do it. And I don't care if you don't like it. I don't care if you don't want to. You just have to do some things. That's just the rule. And we really don't blow in people's faces and things like that. That's just it's just a rule. Shannon, my older daughter, started a full-time job in August. That was her first full-time job she had. And the first 2 days on the job were spent in orientation. They spent 2 days explaining all the things you can do and all the things you're not supposed to do, and this is how we do it here, and this is what we're going to do here. So that it was just considered very important that they have that knowledge prior to beginning. I'm required, with my current job, to have this handy-dandy piece of paper. This is a food handler's permit. Now, I did not have to have it when I taught in public school in kindergarten. I have no idea why I have to have it now. And it's not the institution that's making me do it. DHR makes me have it. It's just a rule. I'm not doing anything any different than I was doing in kindergarten. I helped Bobby pull his snack open. But other than that, I'm not doing anything any different than I've always done. But it's a rule. So every summer I go down and sit and watch the little video for an hour, and I get a fresh card because they're only good for 1 year. But, you know, people are dismissed from jobs every year because they won't follow the rules. Shannon was commenting that during this orientation she had, she worked at a healthcare facility, and they have a certain day it is required to have a flu shot. And she said that if you do not get the flu shot by this date, you are terminated. And she said they terminate about 20 people a year, and they give it to you on site for free. And so some people just choose, for whatever reason, not to do it, and they lose their job. They have too many vulnerable people to expose them to that, and that's just a rule. But some people are really surprised. People who live here in this area are just surprised sometimes to hear that the role of women in the Lord's church is viewed rather controversially today. There have been a lot of significant societal shifts in my lifetime. There are more women working in places of leadership out in the world. And more women work today in roles that were once dominated by men. My dentist and my personal health care physician are both women. We have women now who work in welding, who work in the military. Women are astronauts. Women are members of Congress. We have women on the Supreme Court. This past election cycle, we had a woman who was one of the two major candidates. I don't doubt at all that within my lifetime there probably will be a woman as president. And yet, here on the Gulf Coast, we're a little insulated, and we often don't know what's going on in the church elsewhere. Or else we hear about it and we think, well, this doesn't really apply to us here. But today's society is a very mobile society. People don't stay in one place. The final year Shannon was in physical therapy school, the program consisted of being in a different city. She didn't set foot on campus the whole year, was not in a classroom all year. She was in clinical settings, clinical rotations, and she was in different cities in different states every 8 weeks. And that put her in different congregations. Every 8 weeks. Many people's jobs involve a lot of travel. And so they're in a lot of different places. And we're also very interconnected due to the Internet. We're exposed to things happening elsewhere. We used to not hear about things like that, but now we are. Blog posts, sharing on social media. And those expose us to a wide range of views and opinions. About 12 years ago, when Shannon, my older daughter, danced with Mobile Ballet, and she had a real propensity for doing it. She did very well at what she did, and she was encouraged to go elsewhere and study ballet in the summer and with professional companies. And the first summer she went, this particular program did not have a residential facility. It didn't have a dormitory setting. And so we only went for 2 weeks. It was in a major city. She was 13 at the time, and so I went with her and stayed for those 2 weeks. And we went to church two Sundays there. And this was, again, this was 12 years ago. And I was like, whoa. You know, I'd heard of a few things, but I was just kind of, wow. And I was thinking, you know, Dorothy, we're not in, you know, we're not in Kansas anymore here. And I'd come back and tell my story about things I saw there. And people were like, well, are you sure you were at a Church of Christ? Well, what was your first clue that something was going to be different that week? Well, probably when a woman led the opening prayer. That was probably my first clue that we were going to be doing things a little bit differently today. But, you know, we're thinking that that doesn't apply to us here. But at some point, it's going to be an issue here in Mobile. It will. And I was talking to someone here Sunday, a younger woman who has smaller children, and she was just saying, it's an issue elsewhere, but I don't think it's anything we're going to have to face today. I said, but you know what? Your kids will. I said, your daughter's going to face this, and your son's wife is going to face this. So I said, yeah, it's something we need to know about. It's something we need to keep abreast of. And it's important for us to study and determine what the scriptures say now on this subject, so, and on many other subjects. So we're not just blindsided by things when they come down the road for us. It's really important that we understand for ourselves what the scripture says about the role of women in the church. And it's going to be up to us to teach our children. We can't depend upon the churches, the youth groups, the Bible classes. Oh, so often, if something's considered controversial, it's just not brought up. It's just not mentioned anymore. We can't depend on Christian colleges. Some of them are in approval of some of the things going on today, and they're actually facilitating some of these things by placing their female students in these roles. It's important for our daughters and our granddaughters to understand what the Bible actually teaches. And it's also important for our sons to understand. Their wives and future wives may have grown up in a different environment where the kinds of things we're going to talk about today are commonly accepted. We also can't assume that if something's coming from within the Church of Christ, that it's scriptural. Now, there are some scriptural prohibitions on roles women cannot take on in the corporate assembly of the church. Women cannot preach or teach mixed-sex Bible classes. Notice here in 1 Timothy that it says, I do not permit a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. Women cannot serve as elder or deacon. Notice here, and I'll put it in italics, one of the requirements is to be the husband of one wife. We see that same thing again here with reference to an elder, and right down here we're seeing it again with reference to the qualifications for a deacon. And the then here we're seeing this is the qualification for deacon. It mentions their wives have certain qualifications. It doesn't say anything about their husbands having qualifications. It's the wives having qualifications that qualify them. Every time it's referred to in the scriptures, it's referred to in the masculine form. But this is not because God doesn't like women. It's due to the order of creation. It says it right here in the next part of the passage. Same thing, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. That was just due to when God created things, that was the order he established. And God has an established order for everything. And this happens to be the established order for the church. But the Godhead also has a hierarchy. The Father sent the Son, and the Father and the Son together sent the Holy Spirit. Now, some people say that all of this talk about women, that this was contextual for the times. Some say that this was just Paul's opinion. But if we're looking here, same passage in 1 Timothy, he goes on to say he's hoping to come to them and explain all this to them fully and help them get a grip on it. But if he's delayed, if he doesn't get there, he's writing all of these things in this book so that they will know how things are to be in the church, how you ought to behave in the church. This is what God has wanted us to do. Some say that preaching or teaching is not a position of authority. But, if you know, the Word of God is authoritative. We know that all Scripture is breathed out by God. We also see here that the Word I have spoken will judge him. So, if the Word is authoritative and somebody is proclaiming the Word, then the preaching or teaching that's being done is also authoritative. Now, some teach that this passage here negates everything else, that it allows women to serve in any capacity as men. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. This is referring to our salvation. It's not referring to anything else other than our salvation. And it's stating that all of our common salvation is found in Christ. Women are valued by God. These teachings do not in any way belittle women, nor does it make them inferior to men. Workers are not inferior to their boss. Church members are not inferior to the elders. Citizens are not inferior to the elected officials. Christ is not inferior to God. In 1 Corinthians 12, we have the illustration of the body. And it mentions the functions of different parts of the body, that the ear has a different function and different purpose than the feet do. The elbow has a different function. The eyes have a different function. No one function is superior to the other function. And they all have a different role. And all those roles are of equal value. They're just different in nature. Public worship is the only area in which restrictions on women's roles is made. Many areas of service are not of a public or worship nature. The leadership role assigned to men is spiritual in nature, and that's all. We have this example in the New Testament of Lydia. She was a businesswoman. She owned her own business. She was a very successful, wealthy woman. The woman in Proverbs 31 was also a businesswoman. These are women held up to us. There was nothing wrong with the role they were playing in society. But anything we do has to be in accord with God's teaching. When we're reading the Old Testament, we learn that God has established specific ways to worship and that he expects us to adhere to his instructions. The story is told in 2 Samuel 6 about Uzzah. And the ark was being moved. It was on some kind of a little cart. The terrain was pretty rocky. It was bumpy. They were moving the Ark of the Covenant, a very sacred thing. And it looked like, you know, hitting potholes and rocks. It looked like the ark was going to fall off the cart. Uzzah had very good intentions. He reached out to steady the ark. He was not trying to be defiant to God or anything. But God said, don't touch the ark. He was struck dead. His intentions were good. But nonetheless, God had rules and he expected them to be obeyed. In 2 Kings 5, we read the story about Naaman, who had leprosy. And he came to the prophet and was told to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Well, he was just aghast at that. Said, that is nasty. Who knows what I'll get in that river? That's just a nasty river. We have clean, pristine rivers nearer to me, closer to my house, a lot more convenient for me. That's what I want to do. But, you know, if he didn't do it the right way, he wasn't going to be healed of a leprosy. He would only be healed if he did it the way God told him to. It didn't have to make sense to him. He had to do it God's way. If we worship in a way that's any other way than what is designed by God, the worship is in vain. And it is possible to worship God unscripturally. Women are certainly competent to do all of these things. Women, I have no doubt there would be some women who could do a magnificent job preaching, just do an excellent job. Some women with organizational skills, planning skills, who could serve as fantastic elders. Women with beautiful voices who could really lead singing. I have heard some of our sisters pray the most heart-bearing, heart-wrenching prayers. I know they can do all of these things. They're competent, but that's not the way God designed it. And if we're going to do any studying on this matter on our own, it's really important that any studying we're going to do has to be from a reputable source. It has to be from people within the church. It has to be from people who are scriptural in all of their teachings across the board, people who are well-grounded in the truth, because it's possible to find things that will tell you anything you want to hear. So it's really important to consider your source and the solidness of your source if you're going to do some study. Now, many denominations are incorporating women in leadership roles, in both in church and in worship. And this is starting to move steadily into the Lord's church as well. There are several reasons for this. One is that their experiences, desires, wants are often placed above Scripture. But we notice in Romans 12, we're urged to not be conformed to the world. This can be a tool of Satan for gaining a foothold in the church. Satan wants so badly to get into the church and to destroy it from within. And this, he will stop at nothing. And the role of women could very well be one of many things he is going to try to get his feet in the door. Some people just feel that their gifts aren't being utilized within the church. They have been gifted this way, and I'm just not able to use it. Some people are just honestly ignorant of what the Bible teaches. This was the case in the New Testament in the 18th chapter of Acts with the story of Apollos. He had a partial understanding of the truth, but when Aquila and Priscilla encountered him, they realized he didn't really understand the entire truth, so they took him aside and they very gently explained to him more accurately what God's Word taught. But then there are some, even within the church, who are actively pushing for social change within the church. Now, I've decided I'm not going to do any finger-pointing today. I'm not going to name names. That's not my role here. I'm wanting more to just put some things out there and create an awareness. But in doing some reading on some of these things, I just came across some of these phrases as I was looking at some different blogs and things. The fierce urgency of now. This is a talk at a lectureship of a Christian college. And it was on strategies and tactics for social change within the churches of Christ. And it calls itself a blueprint or course for deliberate conscious change. I came across this phrase from a woman who wrote something, asking me to stay in the churches of Christ is like asking an abused spouse to stay in a marriage. I read an article at the church for a basketball team, and this was an article celebrating a women's basketball team and all the wonderful things that these women by working together and how empowered these women were, and it went on. It concluded with the question, can't we celebrate this same strength and competence and skill and desire and effort within the church? I came across someone who stated that she had been called into ministry, but she was forced to leave the churches of Christ. I came across a man who commented that having women in leadership is one of the ways that we combat violence against women, by demonstrating in public that women are more than property and more than bodies. Now, I noticed some things as I was doing some reading, some phrases that I kept coming across again and again. And these are, if you come across some of these phrases, if you decide to do some reading or studying or looking up some things, if you see some of these phrases, these might be a flag for you to stop and really pay attention to what this person's saying and look at what they're trying to tell you within this article. But I noticed a post-gender world. Referring to the church as my tribe rather than my church or the church or the Lord's church. Referring to what's taught within the church as our traditions. Referring to gender justice, not in gender equality, but gender justice. And then a lot of reference to wanting to think that God's grace is going to be big enough to cover all of this. That this really won't matter in the end because God's grace is going to be the overriding thing. Now, like I mentioned, I'm not going to point fingers, I'm not going to name names. But so I covered up some things with sticky notes. But this is from, the date on this is February 1st of this year. This was a couple of weeks ago, exactly 2 weeks ago, as a matter of fact. And this is an article that came out. It came out from one of the Christian colleges. It's called Traditional Complementarian or Egalitarian. I highlighted a couple of things I'm going to share with you. Now, I will say that this author commented in the intro that he's not promoting one over the other. He is just trying to make people aware that these are positions within the church today. Starts off by identifying traditionalists, and he says that this is a historic position among churches of Christ. David Lipscomb and James Harding would both be described today as traditionalists. They believe that the distinction between public and private is key for the application of these principles, and that all of the laws that we have considered normally within the role of women in the church are rooted in the creation, because God created man as the head of woman from the beginning, because man was created first in the order of creation. And then there are the complementarians. They are asserting that men should be function as Christ-like heads. They should serve women, empower them, and sacrifice for them. And that many traditional practices are oppressive and deny women the freedom that God permits and encourages. And they say that, for instance, when Scripture is read, the authority lies in the text. When prayers are prayed, it's serving people rather than exercising authority over them. Whoever passes a tray is serving people and not serving at any point of authority within the church. And this, they regard the women, the participation of women, as both a privilege and a right. It's considered an honor to participate, and it's justice to allow women to do these things. And they say that biblical texts contain the principles, the basic principles, and that but applying these principles may vary from culture to culture. And that when men are actually serving as Christ-like heads, they're empowering women to participate because it is their privilege and their gift to participate. And then we have the role of the egalitarian. And they assert that the full equality of role relationships and functions within the leadership and ministry of the church. All functions in the church are open to women according to their gifts, although they're saying you should exercise some cultural sensitivity and deference to local customs and traditions. They open all facets of the church to the inclusion of women. It can be couched primarily in the language of rights and justice, some do. Some say it's more of gifts and privileges, and some emphasize both. But they're stating that for the common good of the body, if the Holy Spirit has gifted women in certain ways, then the church should use these gifts to edify the body of Christ. And some assert that justice demands inclusion, regardless of local customs and subcultures. But most affirm that for the sake of love and unity, a more sensitive approach that calls for mutual formation toward the goal of full inclusion. And they're acknowledging that the cultural path to equality in some congregations is going to be a long one. And they say that it is the inclusion of women that is a cultural scandal in the United States, and it is the church that oppresses women when they should be being liberated. Scripture points us beyond its own circumstances and applications through certain texts, and they are saying that God is calling us to live in the future that Scripture can only imagine. All right. I went to a specific church's website, and this is right on their website. This is the elders' policy statement on the roles of men and women. This is dated August 7th, last summer of 2016. It says, after much prayer, study, and conversation as a body, the elders have concluded that the Bible teaches that God created us all, men and women, equally in status, giftedness, and opportunity for ministry, and that the church is best served when men and women share responsibilities and serve together as complementary partners. The elders affirm that in our public gatherings as a family, men and women may participate and serve together for the good of the body and with the leading of the Spirit in all functions of the servant. But for this congregation, we're going to not place them in roles of elder and preaching minister. So that is a statement from a Church of Christ. And then they also had a series of lessons that they presented, and these are PowerPoints, two slides I downloaded. The emphasis, it was theirs. I did not go back and read it or underline anything. This was straight off what they used when they were teaching the congregation. Takeaways of the elders' study. Sometimes honest, authentic disciples study the same passages and texts and come away with very different readings of the same passages and texts. In such cases, where the text can honestly be read by earnest, serious Bible students who are faithfully seeking God's wisdom and guidance, we may have to conclude that the subject being studied is a matter of opinion and is not being made clear by God in Scripture and is not a matter of salvation. And then they go on to say, in such areas, leaders are well up for choices. We can choose to create rules that reflect the interpretation of those with a more restrictive reading of the Scripture, or we can refuse to create rules where the Scripture has not clearly done so. Trusting in the Holy Spirit, the mutual love of the saints, and God's everlasting and abundant mercy, and leaning into our liberty in Christ Jesus. So for people who think that these things are not being taught, they are. These things are out there. Now, I put a handout in your seat. These are some websites. If you want to see some of this yourself, this is where you can go and look. One of these is also a Facebook page, but you can find plenty of things. These things were not necessarily that I just shared with you directly on there, but you will find examples. You'll see things that are being taught and done if this is something you would like to pursue on your own. But times aren't going to go back to how they used to be in the world. They're just not. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a good thing. Women being in more roles in society, wider opportunities, wider workplaces, means more examples, more opportunities for service, more exposure to the truth for those with whom they come in contact with, more opportunities to teach people. But we still must adhere to God's teaching. And each person has to know where you stand. You have to be willing to leave if you're being told that something's okay. That isn't okay. And just because something's being authorized by the elders or sanctioned by someone doesn't mean it's right or it's authorized by God. It's applaudable that women want to work for and serve God. And women want to move beyond having tea parties and makeovers. They want to serve people, but it has to be serving in a biblical manner and not just for self-gratification. Mary's response when she was told by Gabriel that she would be the mother of the Savior, she said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." In the conclusion of the book to the church at Rome, Paul mentions specifically Phoebe. And he said, "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea." Attitude is what differentiates serving from doing. Serving indicates a willingness to obey and to submit. Our own will no longer matters. We become a vessel by which the will of someone else is accomplished. Serving is below you. Leadership is beneath you. Now, we spend a lot of time talking about things that the Bible tells us women can't do. But there are so many things that women can do. Not only can do, need to do. Women are to teach other women, and this is a commandment. This isn't optional. This is a commandment that women are to train and teach other women. Women can also teach children. We know that Timothy knew the Scriptures from infancy. We can teach our own children. We can teach children here in the congregation. And that is so essential to their spiritual development. We were talking earlier, you know, I've got the Cradle World class, and Little Houston was in here a few minutes ago, Andrew's little boy, and he just sings along with us, and he, it's obvious that he is getting something out of being in class. Having children's classes is an essential component for new families deciding on a congregation. If you're new to town, you're looking around, everything else being equal, if you have children, you're going to go somewhere where they've got a strong children's program. And because you care enough about your own children's soul that's what you want for them. And when there's no options for children, adults aren't going to go to class either. I mean, that's just the bottom line. But I came across this quote which really struck me. Your greatest contribution to the kingdom of God may not be something you do, but someone you raise. Now, you can also teach the children of your relatives. We have many children here who are brought to church by their grandparents. You can, if there are cases where parents are not faithful Christians, aunts, uncles, grandparents can step in and provide that role model for those souls that's not being provided for them at home. We're blessed here in town to have a Christian school. People who are teaching at a Christian school have the opportunity to teach children in their classes. Many of the families at Mobile Christian are not Christian families. These children do not come from Christian homes. They have an opportunity. People are paying them to teach their children. And it's a great opportunity. And not only can they teach their children, that gives them an avenue into the family as well. Women can visit. This can consist of actual visits, like to the sick or shut-ins. It can consist of visiting by means of cards and notes. When my mom passed away, her illness was a quick one, but she was in the hospital for several weeks before she passed away, and I counted up. She had, and the room had blinds, kind of like this, and so she had the cards she'd gotten draped over blinds. What I brought home that we packed up of those that were displayed, 144. Now, that was a huge testimony, not just to her. She considered it a blessing. She would read them over and over. People had written personal notes about how much she had meant to them. But every worker in the hospital knew that those cards came from people from churches, not just the local church, but other people were sending it. Powerful testimony that people would care enough about her to send her cards. But after she passed away, because at the end she just got very weak for the final few days and all, in addition to the 144, I brought home an unopened 209 more. And I opened every one of them and read them. So thinking that it doesn't really matter to send a card, it matters enormously. Women can also encourage. So many people need to be encouraged. New Christians need to be encouraged. They need to be encouraged to stay strong in the faith, not to step back. If we see that their understanding of the Scripture is not good because they are a baby Christian, we can help guide them and mold them, just like Aquila and Priscilla did for Apollos. Help them develop further and get their spiritual muscles going. We can encourage people who are new to the area, singles, college students, Christians with wavering faith, Christians undergoing difficult circumstances such as family issues, money issues, health issues. We can be available just as a listening ear when someone just needs to talk. We can build relationships among each other. How on earth can we pray for or encourage someone or help bear each other's burdens if we don't have a relationship with our sisters, if we're not even aware that these needs are there? We can give. In addition to giving as part of the worship assembly, our ladies' class, with the blessing of our elders, we sponsor a cottage at the children's home in Paragould, Arkansas. We might help out with someone who has an unexpected health care need, or they're traveling. They've got someone who's sick in another city, and they need to get there. We might contribute to help them with that. We might help with meet the need for holiday gifts or clothing. We've even provided goodie baskets on a couple of occasions to support someone who just needs to be encouraged. Maybe they're on bed rest, or maybe they're just discouraged over something. We can assist. Now, the men who are in leadership positions, like elders and deacons, they have to be married. That is a requirement for their job. And some of their qualifications, other qualifications, requires our assistance. They're required to display hospitality. If we're not going to help them display hospitality, they're not qualified to be an elder or a deacon. We had a ministry fair right after Christmas here at Regency where we displayed all the different areas of service. And it was originally conceived as a way for the deacons to portray various works that they oversee. Like Tony's in charge of missions, so he had a little PowerPoint going, and he had some little artifacts and little maps showing where different missionaries are. But what was really interesting was that most of the displays at the fair were from women portraying various works that they're doing. Our ladies' ministry had a big table just overall with the Secret Sisters that we have, craft nights, opportunities to eat out or eat in or eat together, having family activities such as the mother-daughter tea, game nights. The Bear Ministries had their own table. The food preparation ministry had a table. We prepare food for sick or new mothers or funerals. nursery ministry had a table for people to sign up and serve by keeping the nursery. Our teaching ministry for our children's classes had a table. We have a health services ministry here where we have blood drives. We have some health trainings like CPR classes. We have some exercise classes. These are all some examples of just some of the opportunities that women have in this particular congregation. But, you know, when you come right down to it, this is the sum of it all. She has done what she could. Christ said this about the unnamed woman who anointed him just prior to his crucifixion. He went on in the next verse to say, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she's done will be told in memory of her. There's plenty of work for us as women to do. If our hearts are right, and if we're really seeking to serve, rather than to be lauded and noticed, we're going to stay busy.